The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
He needs no introduction. You know, I love him dearly and appreciate his ministry. And so, Brother Bob, come and the Lord leads you. Amen.
Amen. That's the angels of heaven rejoicing. Amen. Well, after Sister Rose's testimony, there's not much left to be said. So if I sound like I'm repeating things this morning, it's because we've already touched the throne room of heaven. Amen. I understand today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday occurred about 50 days after Easter, after Jesus rose from the dead at the Resurrection Sunday. And during that time, he made many appearances. This is not my message. This is just before. This was 50 days before. And he said right as his last instruction, it was not the first time he brought the subject up, but he said as part of his last instruction, he said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive power." Things are going to be different when the Holy Spirit comes. And then he says, and I link these two things together. He said, "You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes." And then he says, "And you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in the neighborhood right close to home, in Judea, not too far away, Samaria, a little bit further out, and to the othermost parts of the earth, to the ends of the earth." We're to be his witnesses. And he connects, I think, he connects the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which is what he's talking about. You know, when we get saved, we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus lives within us. And that's good. But he says, "You will be my witnesses." If we're to be his witnesses, we need to have the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the armament. This is the putting on the flak jacket. This is picking up an AR-15, to picking up a grenade launcher, picking up something. It's our weapon. It's that which we fight the enemy with, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to say, if you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to seek it. It's something we seek after. It's something we ask the Lord to endow us with. And if there's anybody here this morning, and I didn't think this through, and I hadn't prayed it through, but I thank God put it on my heart. If you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you would like to receive it this morning, if you'll raise your hand, we'll do something about that right now. Anybody like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Receive your armament. Get your weapons. Think of basic training when you go through and they strip you down to nothing, and then they start handing you back what you need to fight the battle. And before you know it, you're fully armed and ready to go out. And if anybody would like to be fully armed this morning, let's just pause. Pastor, can we do that? I didn't ask you permission. Is that okay? But I thought God told me, so Anybody else? I saw one hand. Anybody else would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning? We can do this. If some believers would gather around Robert, we'll just pray for Robert this morning that he receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lay hands upon him. Robert, come on up here. Pat wants you to come up here. Anybody else join him? Anybody else? Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. That which is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the empowering of the Holy Spirit to give you spiritual gifts far beyond anything you've ever experienced before. The evidence of speaking in tongues accompanies the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I just want you, Robert, to start, and anybody else who would not be up here but would like to receive, if anybody else would like to receive this morning, Just start praising God. Just start thanking Him for all that He's done in your life. And in the precious name of Jesus, hallelujah. In the precious name of Jesus, Robert, receive the Holy Spirit. Robert, receive all that God has for you this morning. Be empowered by the name of the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to receive what Christ has for you, that you might be His witness, that you might be his armor, that you might be His shield, that you might be His voice, that you might be His messenger. In Jesus' name, receive a full measure. Receive a full measure in Jesus' name. In Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We honor you today, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're speaking in tongues up here. And I want you to know that's a gift. And it's, you can pray in tongues anytime you want. You can start and stop whenever you want. But start looking for some things, and maybe like a word of knowledge. God will begin to speak to you, give you some wisdom that you wouldn't normally have. There are many gifts in the Bible that are described. And so just start seeking those gifts. In fact, Paul said to seek the gifts, all right? So whatever you need, just seek it. You're on the right track. That's it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen. Yes. Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank
you. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord.
You can do that anytime.
I wanted
you to
pray
so you could hear it yourself.
Okay. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Says you have not because you asked not. He asked and he received.
Hallelujah.
If that touched your heart, maybe there were others here today that have not received and need to receive. This is always open. It's not just on Pentecost Sunday. It's just the first time it's recorded in Scripture. You want to be prayed for? Okay. Okay. We could pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit or health or what's on your mind.
Just one whole thing.
The whole thing?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Lord, I just pray that you fill Priscilla, Lord, with the whole thing.
Yes.
Lord, I just pray for healing for her body, healing for her mind.
Yes.
I pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to come rushing through. Lord, I just pray that you give her power, Lord, that you give her mighty power. Lord, that you would heal her, that you would renew her, Lord, in every way. Lord, she's come forward this morning, standing here, Lord, asking for more of you. And Father, I pray that you heal her this morning, Lord, and give her more of you. In the precious name of Jesus, in the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I feel His peace. I feel His strength. I feel His anointing on your life. God's not finished with you yet. He's got much to do. And you need to get it out of the business of doing it. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
God bless you.
I love you.
Love you too. Praise God.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We're on a roll. Anybody else?
Okay. Thank you very much. I love this.
Thank you. All right. Anytime you want to stop me, you just stop me. There's nothing more precious than watching God do His thing. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. June the 2nd, 1981, Denise and I were saved. That was 38 years ago. So we're celebrating our 38th rebirth in Jesus Christ as of June. Hallelujah. The title of what we're going to talk about this morning is Going to War in 2019. We're going to war, folks. This week I've been watching on the news, as I'm sure you have, as they celebrated D-Day, June the 6th, and over again, they showed you the landing craft coming up to the beaches, and those big gates fell down, and men fully equipped with, I don't know how many, many pounds. How many pounds, Danny? 100 pounds? 100 pounds of gear and ammunition and a canteen full of water, hopefully. And all that they needed to assault that beach. And it was just wave after wave after wave of soldiers coming on the beach in an almost impossible task. Europe was being torn up. Europe was being destroyed by Hitler and his troops. He was taking over a continent of many, many different countries, causing great havoc throughout the country. It looked impossible. It looked absolutely impossible, but we went anyway. And we joined allies. We linked arms with people from different places. The English were there. The Americans were there. And I don't know who else were there. Lots of people were there. 160,000 people. Aircraft carriers, destroyers, the boats with the big guns that go boom were there. Airplanes for days had been dropping bombs and strafing the beach to try to prepare a place for these guys to go. 160,000 people. They didn't all make it. Sometimes the gate went down, and before the first step was taken off, they were off the boat, they were a casualty. They were ripped up, and they died right there. They never even made it home. They were buried in this foreign land, and I saw the cemeteries, and you did too, on the TV, the cemetery, so beautifully, symmetrically lined up. For OCD people like myself, I just continued to be in awe about no matter which angle you looked at all these crosses, they were perfectly lined up, perfectly in order. But they weren't here. They were somewhere else. These men and women, men died on foreign soil. And they died over there because they were fighting a battle that needed to be fought. Just the day before, on June the 5th, General Eisenhower said, "We're going in, guys." The plans had been laid, everything was in ready, and he said on June the 6th, I presume at dawn, we'll be there. And he started doing what he needed to do to liberate, and that was the beginning of the end of the war. In time, the war, they fought. A lot of fighting, a lot of people died. I had an uncle who was over there, came back, never was quite the same for what he saw. And maybe you do too. Maybe some of you have relatives that you remember from World War II. They were never really quite the same when they came back. Something got broke. They gave it all for a cause. And I use that preface because I want to tell you that we're in a difficult time today in America, and it's only getting worse. As Europe was falling apart in the 1940s, it was only getting worse. And without intervention, it wasn't going to get any better. Every aspect of our faith is being challenged. Your words, the words that you use, the concepts that you live your life by are being challenged absolutely every day. You and your entire belief system are being challenged. Jesus said they'll know you're Christians by your love. But the world knows us as hate-filled hypocrites. We're criticized by the world and even by some people within the church because we pray for our president and the leaders of our nation. They say, well, they don't deserve it. We ought not be praying for those people. And we're criticized because we do that. We murder babies in the womb, and it seems to be a no-brainer to oppose that. I mean, why would you not oppose that? But the world calls us haters because we're not concerned about women's health and reproductive rights. Reproductive rights? What is that? Reproduction is a privilege. God said, be fruitful and multiply. This is not a right as to whether you decide or not decide. God decides. And the world thinks that it's somebody's right to either have a baby or just kill the kid. We're criticized for that. Confusion comes over sexual identity. They tell me that some people say there's 76 different sexual classifications. I only know two. I'm really an uninformed person. I only know about two. There are boys and there are girls. And I don't think there's anything in between those two. You're one or you're the other. I'm not going to say 76. Anger, divisiveness, bitterness, vile speech seems to be the popular stance in America today. Ideological debate in search of truth and in search of the best way to accomplish something is often degraded to character assassination, name calling, vile speech, without ever addressing the issues to make it better. What kind of a place is this? These are difficult times. All of the things that I've said are not the things of God. We pursue the things of God, and we're laughed at. We're ridiculed. We're called hateful people. And yet, the world's supposed to know us by our love. Individuals do not accept or follow the direction of authorities, which leads to even more violence in our country. I fear that we are on a slippery slope into anarchy. Did you get that? Slippery slope? Bet you can't say any better than me. This world is upside down. And we're often on the bottom looking up, trying to figure what's going on around us. Not only is our society at risk, but I believe our ability to freely practice our faith is at risk. Pastors and men and women of God put things on the internet, and you know what? It's being censored. I said one sentence about that. Ask Pastor Morris. He'll fill you in on the details. He's been censored on the internet for standing up for the things of God. There were a few years ago, there were some pastors in Houston that were preaching things that the city didn't like. And the city thought they had the right to ask that pastor, you turn in your sermon before Sunday and let me approve it, and I'll tell you if you can approve it. Have we have enough to go to war yet? I tell you what's happening today is more than a personal challenge to Pastor Morris and to others who happen to be on the front line. Perhaps you've never been personally involved in a situation where your words and your actions were attacked. I need for you to know that what's happening today is more than about you. It's not about you. What was happening in Europe 57, 75 years ago was not about us. It was about somebody who needed us. And we answered the call. What's happening today is a challenge to civilization and our American way of life. Trust me, I'm telling you the truth. You may be willing to say, this doesn't apply to me. I'm a good person. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a sad thing I see around me, but you know, Bob, it's not my battle. Somebody else's battle. Listen to me. You've got those little pieces of paper where you can write stuff down? You can write this down. If this is your stance, you're wrong. You're dead wrong in your beliefs and your ideas about life. This is your battle. Amen. It's not somebody else's. It's not we need to write a letter to somebody to take care of it. Your congressman, your representative. Call Senator Hewitt. This is not their battle. This is your battle. And it's a battle for your failure to act endangers, you write that word down, endangers your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because we will be trampled, we will be put underfoot if we don't do something about it. And if you're not worried about your brothers and sisters in Christ, worry about your children. Worry about your grandchildren. What kind of a world are we leaving to them? I met my new great-granddaughter yesterday for the first time. Her name is Elsie. Precious baby. And I'm going to war for her. She's 7 weeks old. By the time she gets to the age of reason, I want there to be a church for her. Mom and dad are strong believers in Jesus. We prayed for her last night, or yesterday afternoon when we were there. I want Elsie to have something good. And I'm inviting you to go to battle with me. Because if we don't do it, it won't be done. During World War II, there was a call for unity in support of the effort in Europe. And people responded. People responded to what was going on there. Foods were rationed. You couldn't buy everything you wanted. You had to do without something. Gasoline was rationed. You couldn't go where you wanted to go. You had to decide whether I'm going to have enough gas to go here or there. People were encouraged to watch your speech. Be careful what you say. Loose lips sink ships. Loose lips on our part may sink your brother and sister. It was an all-out effort to fight the enemy. Everybody had a part in fighting for freedom. And they were fighting for people that they would never meet in a country that they would never go to. It was a war. It was a battle. Unity and commitment. You got that? That's two more words you can write down. Unity and commitment on the home front, supporting our troops on the fighting front, made all the difference in winning a war. We were all together. We were all focused on what was happening. And we are at war today. We're at war today. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm excited, if you can't tell. We're at war today for the preservation of our ability to practice our faith and to protect civilization in our society. There are those who would wipe out the name of Jesus.
Well, that'll never happen in America. Jesus is the rock bed of who we are.
Well, he is. But Denise and I lived in a country for 10 years where the name of God was wiped out. And two generations, we got to Albania. People didn't even know Jesus was a cuss word, much less the Son of God. Who is this God? Tell me about him. We always suspected that there was a God, that there was somebody out there, but we never knew. We never had an opportunity to study. There was no underground church in Albania. There was nothing, absolutely nothing. And if you said, praise God, you're dead. That's all it took. If they could do it, that was 3 million people. Now, that's not nearly as many as we have here. But if it can happen there, it can happen here. We may not assume that the name of Jesus Christ, we may not assume that the name of Jesus Christ will forever be on everyone's lips. We may not assume that our heritage will always be in place. History is constantly being rewritten. Even history within my lifetime, things that I remember, I was there. And now they describe it, and it's not exactly as I remember the way they describe it. We must be unified in our effort. We must support each other. We must help each other. We must encourage each other. We must be willing to give up things that are precious to us. Perhaps even your life. Perhaps even your well-being, in order to preserve what God has given us. Friends, we're at war. And there's something we need to do about it. In Luke chapter 10, we have a great model that Jesus gives us when he sends out the 72. And it reads something like this, beginning in verse 1. It says, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him, to every town and place where he was to go. And he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you, I'm begging you to go out into the harvest field. And to those people, Jesus says, go. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Make no mistake, the battle that we're about to fight is among wolves. They're wild animals. They will do anything to tear you part from part, take every word that you say and question it. We are going out like lambs. And that's how he wants us to go out. He didn't tell us to go out like wolves among wolves. You go out as lambs among wolves. That was the direction. He said, do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. Well, that's certainly strange, being unfriendly. No, that's not what he's saying. He said, stay focused. You stay focused on what I sent you out to do, and you depend on me. He said, take no purse, because you don't have to use your resources. You don't use your talents. If you think you're going to solve the problem, you're wrong again. Put that down under the wrong column. If you think you're going to solve the problem in your strength, you're wrong again. He said, stay focused on what I'm calling you to do and depend on me to get it done. And he says, when you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. Again, stay focused and be satisfied with whatever resource God gives you. Boy, if I only had hair, I'd be a great preacher. If I was only 6'4" like Morris is, I'd be better. Then my weight would finally be right for my height. I weigh enough, I'm just too short. It's not what we don't have, it's what we do have. And be satisfied with what you do have. You have it because God gave it to you. And that's the tool he wants you to work with. Don't you wish you were like somebody else? No. Be grateful that you're you. And let you be enough to make it happen. He says, when you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is offered to you. Sounds good to me. I like most of everything. It's hardly anything except green noodles. I don't do green noodles. It says, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into the street. Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. But you can be sure of this. The kingdom of God is near. They make a choice. And the kingdom of God is near. This call is clear. The call is for now. It's an old story, but the call is for now. It's for today and it's for America. The Holy Spirit will go before you and prepare the hearts. The model is clear. We're going out before Jesus. Jesus says, go prepare the places that I'm going to go. We go before him. You're not the Savior. I know you thought you were, but you're not the Savior. You're not the one that's going to solve all of the issues. Jesus says, go and prepare the way. You're the messenger. And what message is that we're going to give? Prepare the way to the Lord. As we meet people on our journey, like kindred spirits, you talk to them. As we meet people along, when we get to the town, to the place where God's sending you, talk to them. Love on them. Give them something. The healing, he said, heal the sick. Bring something to give. A nice word like, hey, that's a nice looking kid you got. You know, I like whatever. Just be nice. Just be friendly. Just be open. Just talk to people. Do all that you can to give something of value and explain that Christ is your source. Let them see Christ in you. And if you're not received, well, get your feelings hurt. Okay? If you're not received, sarcastically, if you're not received, get your feelings hurt. And go home and say, I was never cut out for this. If you get your feelings hurt, just move on to the next person. Because God is not going there. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Then the 72, I like this, I'm moving down to verse 17 now. He said, the 72 return with joy. They've been out talking to people. They've been out loving people. They've been out healing the sick. They've been out doing all that God called for them to do. And they returned with great joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit in your name. Yeah. Stuff happened. We just couldn't believe the stuff that was happening. Verse 23, then he turned to his disciples and said privately to them, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings and important people and mighty people have wanted to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Have you ever led anybody to the Lord? Have you ever watched the look on their face when the light comes on? Yes. When their eyes clear, when the scales fall from their eyes, and they begin to see the goodness of the Lord? Yes. The testimony about your brother this morning. You speak the Lord. You speak life. You speak hope into people's lives. And does that make you happy? Oh, my goodness, yes. Is there anything that gets you happier than seeing God doing His thing? When you know all you did was show up and you were obedient, but God did His thing, and suddenly all the lights go on. Life is just good, and we walk around for days praising Him and thanking Him. He said, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. My uncle came back from World War II, and many others who have served in the military have come back wishing they had not seen all that they had seen. Hurt in their spirit, damaged because of what they saw in the battlefield. What they saw in the face of the enemy hurt them. But they came back victors. They came back with a joy and an understanding that the battle was won. And we were the victors in that. Which is to say, did the warriors pay a price? Yeah. They paid a price for being there. Price that they'll carry with them forever. And all I can say is, God bless you. I'm sorry. What can I do to help? These people are blessed to have seen the victory. And you and I can see that victory. I'm going to borrow a little bit from something I get every day. It's called the Denison Forum. James Denison is a preacher, lives in, is it Dallas? Dallas-Fort Worth? In the Dallas area. We heard him speak a couple of years ago at a prayer meeting that we went to. He does a column every day called Cultural Commentary. And he helps just to put things in perspective. And he's so clever and so good that I couldn't be as good or as clever as him. So I borrowed some stuff from him. And he said, in pursuing any good effort, he said there's four steps. You got that blank paper, you can write these down. Four steps. He said, to admit, to commit, to submit, and to transmit. Admit, commit, submit, and transmit. Admit what? Admit that there's a problem. Yeah. Admit that there's a problem out there and that it's a real problem. Before any of us got saved, what was the first scripture you heard? Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned. Until you grasp that concept and admit that you're a sinner. Admit that you can't do your life on your own. Admit that it's not going to work out if you don't make a change. If you don't admit to it, then nothing else is going to work. The first thing is to receive it, to make this the issue, whatever the issue is, personal. To admit that you need a Savior. We need to admit to this problem that's happening in America today. It's real. When you decided that it does affect you, then we can get something done. You ever heard somebody say, well, I believe there's a God. Yeah, I believe He's out there somewhere. And I heard about this Jesus, and I believe that Jesus lived. What's your response? You're missing it. You're missing the point. You have to admit that you need Jesus as the Lord of your life. When you admit that you need Him, then you can work with that. Each one of us sitting here today needs to admit that there's a problem in America. And we need to admit that we can do something about it. The Word says in Galatians 6:8, whoever sows to the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. But whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. If you admit in your spirit, if you're going to try to do something in your flesh, let's paint a sign, let's go pick it, let's go walk up and down Gauze Boulevard, let's condemn everybody we see. If that's your method, you're going to lose the battle. But when you commit in your spirit, when you believe this is a real problem, this is something that's real out there, and I'm going to do something about it, that's when we become passionate, when we admit that there's a problem. So the first step in having to resolve the issue that is in the problem today is to admit there's a problem. General Eisenhower in 1944. In 1944, when General Eisenhower, he admitted there was a problem. He owned the problem. He was passionate about resolving the problem, and I'm sure he went through every scenario he could possibly think. Can we send a foreign aid? Can our ambassadors talk to each other? Can we do this? Can we do that? Can we do the? He went through everything, and he said, there's only one answer, and I'm committed to it because I admit that there's a problem over there. And we got to work the problem. Have I made the point, or do I need to keep on the same one? You got it?
You got it.
You got it. We need to admit that there's a problem in America today. Second thing is to commit to it. Make a conscious decision. We can admit there's a problem, said, yep, sure is. Good luck, guys. Or we can commit to the problem and say, we can do something about it. I can't do what Morris can do. Morris is so talented and gifted. I can't do what he can do. I can't do what any of y'all can do. But I can do what I can do. I'm different. I'm Bob. Okay, there's only one. Aren't you glad there's only one? There's only one Bob out there. But Bob is called to do what Bob knows how to do. And I need to commit that I'm going to do something. Do I know what? Nope. Do I need to know what? Nope. When the 72 went out, did they know what they were doing? Nope. They went out and they healed the sick, and they were grateful to the people who helped them and took care of them, and they proclaimed the name of Jesus. They proclaimed the kingdom. That was their job assignment. What did they commit to? Doing what he said. And they went out and they did it. And when they went out and did it, they came back with great joy and said, you're not going to believe what we saw. They didn't see what they expected to see. Jesus didn't say, go out now, and if you go out and shake the bushes, and you're going to watch the demons flee when you get out there. Go out and say, Jesus, Jesus, and when you do, demons are going to run from you. He didn't say that. He said, you go out and love people. You go out and talk to them. You go out and give them something good, something they need, something of value, and tell them that the kingdom of God is near. That was their message. And that's what we need to commit to. We need to commit to doing what God called us to do. Well, how am I going to know that? I'm so glad you asked. Try 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people. Anybody here not God's people? Good. We're all in the same place. Okay. If my people will humble themselves and pray. What does humble themselves mean? Humble themselves simply means let God be in charge. Humble yourselves. Now, God, this is how we're going to solve this thing down today, and I want you to be aware of what I'm getting ready to do. That doesn't sound like humility to me. That sounds like kind of bossy, and a few of you are that way. So we'll do some repenting afterwards. We're working on it. Pat says, we're working on it. How did you know I was talking about you?
Know thyself.
Know thyself. There you go.
Admit to it.
Humble yourself and pray. And ask God, to heal your land. Prayer's at the bottom of this. Where do you commit? There's no sign-up sheet. We got one for July 4th, but we don't have a sign-up sheet for this war. You commit to that to God. Amen. The creator of the universe, your job is to walk up to him and say, Lord, I want to commit. I want to commit to signing up. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what you're going to have me do. But I want to tell you one thing today. I want to commit. I believe that there's a problem, and I believe that you are the only answer to that problem. And I'm going to commit to doing whatever it is you would have me do. We need to be a constant advocate for Jesus Christ. As we go through our lives and walk up and down the streets and we go to restaurants and stores, we're to be a constant advocate for Jesus Christ. It needs to be a part of our life, not something we pull out when we're here on Sunday, but when you go to Best Buy. Hey, thanks, man. God bless you. Y'all doing okay? You know, let Christ be a part of your language. Let God be a part of your demeanor. Let people know that they've encountered a man or a woman of God. And if they have, maybe they'll respond and be encouraged if they're already a believer. Hey, man, God bless you too. Yeah, I'm a believer. Really? Where do you go to church? I've been there, man. I love you, Pastor. We encourage each other. If you go, God bless them, it's thanks. Something I can pray with you about? I don't know. I don't know. But you do what God tells you to do. Be an advocate of Jesus Christ and make him an everyday part of your life. All the places you go, no matter what you're doing, let him be a part. And look for opportunities. Yeah, I can find an opportunity watching your shoes walk down the street. You go look for opportunities by looking in people's eyes. If you catch somebody's eyes, you walk through a store, you walk through a crowd, and you just say, hey, how you doing? Yeah. My family laughs at me all the time because when I'm out in the yard, and lately I've been out in the yard lately, everybody passes by, I wave at them. Yeah. Hey, how you doing? He said, you know him? You know them? I said, no, I don't have any idea who it was. But they look like nice people. You know, just an attitude, an outgoingness, committing to be able to say, I'm looking for opportunities to reach out. I've had people actually stop. Doesn't happen often. But I've had people actually stop and say, do I know you? I said, no. I said, but I tell you what, I just wanted to say, hey, how you doing? What's going on in your life? Who knows? Speak boldly of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? Let me tell you what you're not. You're not the sin control. All right. A little bit too much makeup on this morning. You're not the judge. Kind of short pants there, aren't you? I see much of your ankle. We're not the sin patrol. We're not the judge judging other people's lives. We are the messenger going before Jesus Christ with the express purpose of making the way for the Lord and letting the world know that the kingdom is near. He's coming. He's coming by you. And I want to prepare the way to let you know that I may be weird, but I want to be weird in a good way. I want to be weird in a way that says, man, what's wrong with that guy? He just loves everybody. What's wrong with that guy? He just wants to wave at all of us. Well, I don't know what's wrong with me either, but I tell you what, I just want to love people. I just want to do it. Make Jesus the norm wherever you go, and do it in a way that people accept you. People accept you. Why do I want them to accept you? Because you're the messenger. Amen. You're the messenger, and if they accept you, that's just one step closer for them recognizing my Jesus when he shows up. Amen? So the first thing is what? What did I say? Admit. Then commit, get on the job. Yeah. You got something to do, get on it and do it. And the next one is submit. And the reason submit's there because you want to say, undertake that your only task is in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture, John chapter 5, verse 19 says, Jesus gave this answer, verily, very true, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. You can only do what he sees his Father doing, Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. You want to submit to God. You don't want to, you want to pray when you're praying. Pray for divine guidance. You don't want to come up with some cockabamy scheme. What you want to do is do what God, and those two things may not happen in direct succession. Maybe you're going to pray a while before God shows you exactly the plan He wants you to take. But pray for the guide. My mouth's wearing out. Yeah?
Divine direction. Divine guidance.
Good. Okay, y'all doing good. What's next? Don't make your own plan. Seek God's plan. He's got a plan that's far more incredible. Nobody in my family ever, in fact, Denise's mama said, if I'd known you were going to take her to Albania, I never would have let you marry her. You know, we're going to seek God's plan, even though we don't know what it is now. I don't know what it is for you next week. But we're going to seek His plan. Maybe not anything you ever thought of. Me? Do that? Not me. And God's going to say, hey, yeah, you. Look for God to open doors. God will open the doors He needs to open for you. When he called out, we called the mission, they said, we'd like to be missionaries, please. And he said, how old are you? I said, I'm 50. They said, did you know our cutoff was 35? I said, no, sir. He said, what Bible school did you graduate from? I said, well, I never went to one. Well, what church do you pastor? I said, well, I don't. He said, well, why are you talking to me? Because God told me to go to Albania. Go with God's plan. Let Him open the doors. We spent 22 years on the mission field. When they said you can't do it, God opened the doors. God put the opportunity there. God made it happen. There's nothing on the face of this earth I would like not to do more than raise money. And God put me out there raising money to go to the field. But let me tell you what God did, because He loves me. It normally takes 18 to 24 months for a missionary to raise enough money to get to the mission field. You ready for this? He did it for us in 99 days. In 99 days, we raised a full budget, and we found ourselves shortly after that in Albania. Not because we're good, but because He opened the doors. He provided. He resourced me. I left like the 72 said, I left not bringing an extra pair of sandals or a pocketbook, but I left in obedience to what He said, and God provided. And it was the greatest adventure of our life. I still get excited about all that God did. Did we have trouble? Yeah. But I'd rather tell you about what God did. He just, so many great and incredible things. My prayer, develop the thought that you're a soldier. You're not a guerrilla fighter.
No.
We're an army. We're in an army together. We are a well-oiled army. Supporting each other, loving each other, helping each other, going out, looking for opportunities to pronounce the kingdom of God is near. Looking for opportunities to love people. Looking for opportunities to make a difference in this life today. I will not accept the fact that somebody thinks I'm a hate-filled, what was it, a hate-filled hypocrite. I can't even remember what it was I was supposed to be. They said I'm a hate-filled hypocrite. I don't accept that. I do accept the fact because I've submitted myself to God. I'm an agent of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My head is held high. My back is straight. And even though I'm getting to be an old guy, I still work hard at standing up straight. Because I want you to know I represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm submitted to Him. What are you going to do tomorrow? I don't know. Whatever God said. What did I do yesterday? What God said. Amen. Jesus prayed for us in John chapter 17, verses 20 to 23. He said, My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us. That's us. We're believing through the message. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. What's our mission? Making the world believe that Jesus is the Son of God. To pronounce that the kingdom of God is near. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Aren't you? Are you happy yet? Are you happy yet? Just knowing where you stand in the kingdom and what your job is. I'm putting wheels on you today. I'm putting wings on you today. You can fly. You can skate. You can swim the roughest river, because Jesus said the kingdom of God is near, and you're the messenger of that. And finally, we admitted that there's a problem. Buy it. We got a problem. Own it. We committed to doing something about it. What are we going to do? Whatever it is that you know how to do. Under whose authority? King of kings and Lord of lords. Not your own authority, not your own wisdom. And finally, transmit. Look people in the eye and sincerely tell them what you know about Jesus Christ. You don't have to re-preach a sermon that you may have heard from Pastor Morris or me. You don't want to tell them something you read in a book. I read a book one time about Jesus. They say he's a pretty good guy, and you're all to follow him. What you need to do is tell them what you know about Jesus. See what difference he's made in your life. Prepare the way of the Lord. Open the doors to the kingdom. Hold your head up high. Straight, you represent the living Christ. It's always the responsibility. It's always, check this out, it's always the responsibility of the speaker to make sure that you're understood. It's your responsibility as the speaker to make sure the other person understands. Okay, that sounds reasonable. What does that mean? That means don't talk church lingo to them. Have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? I have, and you have, and we know what that means. But I'm talking to some heathen at the post office. You know? I need to love them and encourage them in a way that they can understand, something that they can receive, something that they will get the idea of why you're standing there. And what's our motivation? Well, try John 13. It says, a new commandment I give you, to love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this will you know that you're my disciple, if you love one another. We've heard that many times, but this next scripture is one that really blows your socks off. Live such good lives among the pagans. Okay? Live such a good life among the heathens and the pagans and the naysayers and the people who are calling you hate-filled hypocrites. Live such a good life in front of those people that though they accuse you of being a hate-filled hypocrite and whatever they accuse you of, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. Even though they're saying ugly things, you don't need to be as vile as them. I know we're all capable of it. Okay? Let's get that straight. Every one of us is capable of being a nasty individual. But you don't need to be that if you're representing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Live such a good life among the pagans that they may see your good deeds. Even though they don't like what you're saying and they don't want to hear it, they say, but you know what? Really a pretty good guy. Really a pretty sound gal in what they were saying. Even though they don't agree with you. That's what we need to do. Speak to everyone, both Christians and others. Christians will be encouraged when you talk to them. The heathens, they may listen. They may not. In either case, you know what to do. Not everyone will admit that there's a problem in society. And when they don't admit it, keep on rocking on. Go find the one. You're preparing the way for the Lord to come and do what he will do. Back to where we began. Get ready to go to war. You're a soldier in the king's army. Submitted to the main game plan of General Jesus. And we are in difficult times today, and it's only getting worse. Every aspect of our faith is being challenged. Words and concept are being challenged every day. You and in your entire belief system are being challenged. Will you join me? Will you join millions of others? Admit there's a problem and own the problem. Commit to doing something about it. Submit to God's plan for you in that process. And transmit the life-giving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will you do that? Will you make a difference? Will you reach out? This is not somebody else's problem. This is your problem. Our message is clear. Friends, we're at war. And the stakes are high. The problem, well defined. We know the problem. You and I are part of the solution. Only question remains, will you do your part? Will you sign up for the war cause today? Will you deny yourself of things that you need to deny yourself of for the sake of winning the battle? Will you do it? Will you do it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you love us and care for us. Lord, we thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit shows itself afresh and new this morning. We thank you, Lord, for healing us with your word and encouraging us with your word. And Father, I pray for everyone who sits under the sound of these words today, be their physical presence here or in the internet or a delayed broadcast. Lord, that your will would be done in their lives. Lord, that they'll pick up the weapons of your warfare and that they will do the part that you've called them to do. Lord, we humbly come before you asking that you would guide us and direct us and empower us to serve you in a bigger and a better way. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Good word, Bob. Thank you. Good word of exhortation and encouragement. The scripture says, provoke one another unto good works. I feel provoked. So that was good. Next week, Father's Day. Yeah. So the sermon title is going to be Men of Honor. I think you will appreciate what the Lord's put on my heart. I think one of the most maligned group of people in this country today is men and fathers. You know, they've tried to take away our masculinity, tell us that we're not necessary anymore. But I believe just the opposite. So you want to come. Guys, I encourage you to be here. You know, I'm a guy's guy, and I love to preach to guys. I like being around men. I just appreciate the uniqueness of men. My wife gets upset with me when a bunch of guys get together and the way we horse around and do stuff. And she says, "Y'all so mean to each other." I said, "No, we're not mean to each other. Just because George told me I had scraggly chicken legs doesn't mean he doesn't love me." You know? So that'll be then. And then the following week, we'll get back to a new prism of life and talking about being restored to life or redemptive life and a whole bunch of good stuff. So you want to be here for that. Okay? Yes, Ms. Donna.
Okay. Pat, can I say just a couple?
Can I give you a microphone to do it? So
the prayer. Okay. All right, I'll just say it. All right, so Bob, you're talking about war, and the Lord put in my heart that we all need to, well, not we all need to, but that it's time to fight for our children. And we're going to try and get together and pray for our children, right, Pat? And so we suggest that everybody bring their scriptures that the Lord has given them, promises God's given them for their children. And we're going to try and get together at some point. I don't know when. We'll just have to talk about it and pray for our kids.
Good deal. I tell you what, it's praying mothers and fathers to bring children into the kingdom. You know? Because some of them are so boneheaded, they won't come in unless you go get them. And the only way to get them is to set the hound of heaven on their trail. All right, let's all stand. Yes, ma'am. You only hate the time with the microphone.
I would just like to say this in conjunction with Brother Bob's message today, that this country needs prayer like never before. And my prayer every day is pray for the president, and I pray for the country. That's every day I pray that. And I would suggest that we, in our prayer time, individually, or whenever we come collectively together, that we need to remember to pray for the United States of America, that God's hand will stay upon our land and save it, in Jesus' name.
That's good word. I'm glad I gave you the mic. Hallelujah. All right, Denny. All right, that was a little better than last week. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the message. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for surprising us with the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning. That was great. Father, let this day be a great day. Let us walk out of this building fully equipped and also ponder what was said and to engage and do what we can, where we can, to enlarge your kingdom and to rescue the perishing. We thank you, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. Everybody say it.
Amen.
You're dismissed. If you need prayer, I'll be glad to pray for you.